Do you guys like the Yelp app? Has anyone ever used it? How many people in here use the Yelp app? Interesting app, right? You want to go to a restaurant or something like that, you type in Yelp, you go to wherever you want to go, and what's really interesting is you can read reviews of where you want to go. What does it say? Is it a good place? Is it not? Stand with me this morning. Listen to the prophet Isaiah this morning. Let's go back, 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. God says this, but there will be no more gloom for her own, but there will be no room for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea. On the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Mark 5, 1 through 6. They came to the other side. Notice the word other side in Isaiah. Notice the word other side in the Gospels. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met Jesus. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and he bowed before him. Father, we pray this morning that you would bless this assembly of believers. Lord, we've come to this house, the house of God, this assembly, this gathering of a Jesus community. We know, Lord, that you are with us. We pray for your Spirit to move freely in our midst this morning. I ask, God, that you would open our eyes and that you would help us to see you more clearly. I pray that you would open our ears that we could hear Jesus this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would speak into our lives and that you would do this for your glory in your most holy name. We pray this because you're awesome, Jesus. Do I hear an amen to that? Y'all may be seated. It's interesting on the Yelp app, and it's kind of cool. Here we are in the 20th century. Writing a review. We thought about this. We were talking about this a while ago, and we were thinking, man, wouldn't it be interesting if Jesus had a Yelp page and people were to type in Jesus? And if people could give reviews about Jesus, what would they say over the last two millennia? If someone was to give Jesus a review or a testimony of their interactions with Jesus, what would they say? What would Jesus' Yelp page look like? Testimony. It's interesting. You know, we just came out of a series called Reasons for God. And I hope you enjoyed that series. We did it with very specific intention. If you noticed from the day that I started off to Bill Morgan to Dr. Carr, and then last week we ended it with testimonies with Ryan and Stephanie, all the way through, people at one point told a story. Everybody gave a review to Jesus. We gave a testimony from myself to Bill Morgan to the doc and so forth. And we thought, wouldn't it be cool to do a series called Testimony to come out of that? And we purposely, again, ended that series with testimonies of Ryan and Stephanie. I have never met a person sold or traded for a horse in America till last week. Am I right? Have you? We went to Morocco with a missions group years ago, and we had a girl in our group, and an Arab trader came up, and he wanted to trade two camels for a girl in our group, and we said no. But that's in Morocco. In America, someone would be traded for a horse. Did you all hear that testimony last week? Incredible. You want reasons for God? Check out people's changed lives. So we want to do a series called Testimony. And it's kind of cool because what's so amazing about a testimony is you open the Bible and you read this person named Jesus. And yet, for billions of people over the last two millennia, this Jesus jumps off the pages of Scripture and into our hearts and lives and transforms and changes. Am I right? Isn't that evidence or reasons for God? Testimony. This is our new series, so I hope we have fun with this one. Did you know that the word testimony, it's actually a legal term? Its definition comes from a legal term. And testimony means a solemn declaration usually made orally by a witness under oath. I'm going to give testimony. When you read the New Testament, you'll find that Jesus a lot told people, go give a testimony. Jesus heals a leper. And in Matthew 8:4 it says, then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. If you were to type in the word testimony in a concordance, you'll see it's all over the Bible. Jesus saying, give testimony about what I've done for you. And so we're going to do a series called Testimony in these next weeks. What we want to do is we're going to journey through the pages of the New Testament, and we're going to look at people and their testimonies. And we're hoping that as we journey down this path, that you will be encouraged in yourself to think about your own story or your own testimony, to reflect upon it and to celebrate it and to share it. So as we started thinking about this series, it's got to start, for me, in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 speaks of a 24-hour period in the life of Jesus that if I was in a time machine, this is where I'd want to go. I would want to be transported for this 24-hour period. This is one of them. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus instructs his disciples to take him over to the other side of the Jordan, to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, because he wants to visit a man that has deep spiritual issues. And so Jesus says, let's go. Whenever I reflect on what I'm about to share with you today, whenever I read Mark 5, I'm reminded of two things: the heart of Jesus and the power of a testimony. Isaiah 9 says that when the Messiah comes, he will reach out not only to the Jews, but also to the non-Jewish people. When you read Isaiah 9, it says that when Messiah comes, he will see the ones on the other side. Isaiah 9, 700 years before Jesus was born, says on the other side, those living in darkness will see a great light. So Bill Morgan, you guys remember Bill? He spoke, he was awesome, wasn't he? He left his finger pointer here. So I want to show you guys something. I'm going to steal his finger pointer today. So Bill, thanks for watching this. Behold the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is an amazing place. When we go on our trip to Israel, we spend our first 5 days here on the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's awesome. It's 14 miles long, 8 miles across, and it's very interesting. The Sea of Galilee, let's see here. Do you see this? This is called the Jordan River. The Jordan River feeds into the Sea of Galilee, and it comes out here, and it feeds out and goes down to the Dead Sea. So basically, there's one side of the Sea of Galilee, and there's the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This side of the Sea of Galilee is the side where the Jews lived. Capernaum's where is the hometown of Jesus. Tiberias, he never went, but that was for certain reasons. Jesus did most of his miracles here. This was known as the other side. It was the side of the Gentiles. It was the side where pigs lived. It's really cool when you go to Israel. All on the Jewish side, you can walk right down to the water. On the other side, there's cliffs on the water. You just can't walk down. There's cliffs. On one side, it's more flat. On the other side, there's caves in the hills. And this is basically the Golan Heights. It's a very disputed land now in the United Nations. The right side is got hills. It's got cliffs. And it's the side of the Gentiles. On the other side, it's where the Jewish people lived. in rabbinic traditions of the day, they believed, if you read in Joshua 3, it says that Joshua was to drive out the Canaanite nations or the Gentile nations. Listen to this. Joshua 3:10, this is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Hevites, the Perizzites, the Gerasites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Termites. Everybody is gone. He's driving them all out. Okay? See, the remnants of these nations, according to rabbinic traditions of the days of Jesus, the remnants of these nations lived on the other side. Now, I can promise you this morning that the disciples of Jesus were not happy when he said, let's get in a boat and go to the other side. When he said, we're going to the other side, I'm sure they were stunned. You don't go there. It's the other side. It's the Gentile side. It's unclean. Unbelievers live there. It's evil. It's devil country. Bad idea, Jesus. This is a bad idea. Could you say that again? Let's get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side. Bad idea. Are you sure, Lord? It was at nighttime when he said, we're going to go. They got in a boat, they're sailing over there, they hit a storm in which all of them almost died. Jesus was underneath the front of the boat sleeping. They woke him up and said, this was a really bad idea. And Jesus stood up and calmed the wind and the storm. Listen to this, and I want to just read it. Pastor Graham said, read the story, Frank. Mark 5, 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore. That means they tried, but at one point, right? Even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains, gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me. For he had been saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he was asking him, what is your name? And he said to him, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the hill, on the mountainside. The demons implored him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And Jesus gave permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind. The very man who had the legion. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him to leave their region. He was getting into the boat. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. Imploring him. And he did not let him. But he said to him, go home to your people. And report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. I promise you, When Jesus said, let's go to the other side, the disciples shook their head and said, this is a bad idea, Jesus. This is a really bad idea. It's a dangerous place. Evil dwells there. It's unclean. The pagans live there. The unbelievers live there. Evil dwells there. We shouldn't go there. Were they right? Were they right? Can't you just see the disciples saying, as they were getting to the other side, and here comes this guy down, they're going, I told you. Jesus, look at this. Look who's coming to greet us. I bet they looked at each other and they said, I knew this was a bad idea. Do you want to meet, know, and follow Jesus? Is your goal to meet Jesus? Then you need to meet Him this morning. You need to meet Jesus this morning. Because Jesus understood completely what He was doing. Jesus intentionally went to the other side. Jesus saw the evil of the other side. He saw the lost trapped in the evil of the other side. And do you notice what Jesus said? Let's go. That's Jesus. Jesus confronts darkness head on. Is this guy an example of the ultimate broken humanity? I mean, honestly, could it get any worse for an individual than this guy, do you think? I mean, he's destructive. He's been left out from society. He's tormented. And then all of a sudden, here comes the sandals of the footsteps of the Son of God into his life. If anybody was messed up, wouldn't it be this guy? Have anyone ever met anyone more messed up than this dude? Anyone? Certainly this guy's up at the top of the list, wouldn't you say? Take notes this morning. Note number one, the heart of Jesus is to seek and save the lost. That's why He's come. The heart of Jesus is to seek and save the lost. I love Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 is a prophecy that when the Messiah comes, His ministry will begin around the Sea of Galilee. And it says, those who live in darkness, a great light will dawn upon them. On the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, those who live in darkness will see a great light. Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. Jesus comes into the darkness to bring light. Jesus comes into the lies to bring truth. This is the ministry of Jesus. This is our Jesus. Do I hear an amen? Isn't this truth, people? Right? You with me? Hey, okay, let's think about this. In Mark chapter 5, what are the characters? When I read Mark 5 to you, what are the characters? Well, you got Jesus, right? What else? You got the disciples. It's good. What else? Got the demon-possessed dude, right? You've got the herders, the pig herders. You got the owners of the pig herders, the people that come out. Or you got five characters in this Mark 5:11. Whenever I read this text, I think about what the pig herders must have saw that day. Do you think the pig herders had a tough job? Do you think their environment was nerve-wracking, eerie? I mean, question. What did the pig herders hear night and day? Listen. Constantly night and day he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. What were they listening to? Come with me. You can go to the, there's one road that goes, there's the mountains up here, there's the Sea of Galilee, there's cliffs. It's a very narrow area and caves up there. And these guys are feeding pigs here. They were hearing this guy screaming night and day in torment. Do you think that was a very pleasant work environment? So, I remember one time we were flying back. So the flight from Tel Aviv to America is about 12 hours. Okay? Do you like to fly? Have you ever, like, sat down and I need to be... God, children are a blessing. Okay? Children are a blessing from the Lord. Except when they're screaming for 12 hours next to you. Am I right? And they, you know, we're getting on the flight and this little one just was crying and screaming for 1 hour and 2 hours. And you try to put headphones on. At one point, this lady, you could hear it in the cabin. Could you please tell that kid to be quiet? Just screamed it out in front of the whole cabin area. She just had enough, right? Just, your kid's scream is getting on my nerves. Would you please, you know, and I'm just like going, right? Can you imagine these guys? They're hurting. And this guy's screaming in torment up in the caves, and it's echoing through the valley night and day. Think of their job. Think of job security. Who were they afraid of that was going to come down out of the caves and beat the stink out of them? The guy that chains that they couldn't even subdue anymore. Do you think they were afraid when they took this job? And here they are. It was a gnarly storm the night before, surfer term. Next morning, it's early in the morning, and there they are, hurting, the screaming. And here comes a boat coming from the Jewish side. Getting closer. Getting close. Uh-oh, here he comes. Oh, they're in trouble. They're watching this. Those guys are toast. Hey, go back, crazy dude, go back. And he comes running down, stops. He's naked, by the way. Any naked dude screaming at you when you run? And there he sits. And they're watching. They're amazed. Couple thousand pigs, oink, they start oinking, oink, 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 oink. All of a sudden, all their pigs start running past them and go jump off the cliff. Whew. Right? What would you do? Whew. They go back to the village. The owner. I got some bad news for you. Stock market crash. Right? You know all those pigs that you hired us to watch? Well, they just all committed suicide. Really? And by the way, you know the cave dude? You won't believe this. He's not beating up the crowd that came down. What? And he starts, and they come out from the village. And there's Jesus. And there's this dude. And I love the description. Clothed and in his right mind. And did they applaud? Did they say, oh my goodness, praise God. Look what the Lord has done to this man. Was that their attitude? They're bummed about the sheep or the goats. Or no, the pigs. The pigs, right? We just lost a bunch of money. They're more concerned about their profits than the presence of God at that time. They were more concerned about their loss of profit than the presence of God in their midst at that moment. And you know, when you read it, it says that they implored Jesus, get out of here. Implored. Begged. That means Jesus wanted to stay. The Son of God in human flesh in their midst, and he wants to be with them. And they asked him to leave. And Jesus never stays where he's not wanted. Amen? And he gets in a boat. And as he's getting in the boat, What did the man want to do? What did he want to do? Take me with you, Lord. Take me with you. I want you to listen to these words. Mark 5, 18 through 20. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring, begging, that he might accompany him. Let me go with you. And he did not let him. But he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. He said to him, listen to this, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how the Lord has had mercy on you. Let those words sink in. What was Jesus telling that man to do? Go tell people about me. Go tell people what the good things, the Lord. And when he says the Lord, Jesus calls himself the Lord. Go tell people what good things the Lord has done for you and how the Lord has shown mercy on you. Jesus was saying, give me a Yelp review. Report. Give me a review. Go tell people about what I've done for you. Go tell people. You know, this was the commissioning of the first Gentile missionary. This was the commissioning of the first Gentile missionary. Jesus didn't tell the guy to go get a PhD so he could witness effectively and debate with people into believing in Jesus. He didn't tell him that. He just told him to just go and tell people what God has done in your life. What great things the Lord has done in your life. How he's shown mercy on you. There's power in a testimony. Are you thinking with me this morning? If Jesus told you to go and tell your people, who are your people? Go tell of your people what good things the Lord has done for you. Has the Lord done anything good in your life? Has the Lord shown mercy on you? Interesting thought here. Let me something here. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. None of you deserve the blood of Christ. It's grace freely given to you. Do you know what mercy is? Not getting what you do deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Interesting. When I was going to seminary, we had a professor, he talked about spiritual warfare and demonology, and he said, you know, he goes, just like in as we walk with God, we take steps as we grow in our sanctification and we grow more in our godliness, we become more like Jesus. He said, in the kingdom of darkness, when people explore and go down this path, there's different levels of the kingdom of darkness. And he says, people that just, you know, omens and sorcery and spells and witchcraft, and they start summoning spirit. I mean, they get themselves in a mess. Okay? And I love my professor. He said, we never read in the scriptures how a person got demon possessed. All we read is that they were. It never explains how they did, just that they were. He says, but I promise you that they were probably dabbling in a bunch of stuff they shouldn't have been. Mercy. It's interesting how Jesus says, go and tell the Lord of the good, go tell people the good things the Lord has done to you and how God has shown mercy on you. Do you think that that guy received mercy? If he had received justice, he would have been stuck in the cave. Jesus had come to give him mercy. I don't know what you've done in your past, but I will cleanse you and clear you out today. Has Jesus been good to you? Okay, I want you to think of one thing. What's one thing that the Lord has been good to you with? Think about it. Can you think of it? You got it? At the count of three, I want you to say it. One, two, three. Say it. That was one. Can you think of in your life of one time when you should have got something and yet God in His mercy just made sure you didn't get it? That's mercy. Has God been good to you? Jesus told this dude, go tell your people about me. Go give me a Yelp review. People, when was the last time you told your people about how the good things the Lord's done for you? When was the last time you told somebody about the mercy God has shown onto your life? Jesus told this guy, you can't come with me, but go to your people and tell them. And look at this. Mark 5:20, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, those are 10 Gentile cities on the other side. So this guy went to 10 cities telling people about Jesus and the amazing things Jesus had done in his life. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. He went and did what Jesus told him to do. And it's interesting, read the Gospel of Mark. Jesus got back into that boat. He went back over to the Jewish side. Next week we'll hear about what he did to a lady in Capernaum, which is awesome. But what he did is he went over to the Jewish side and he began proclaiming and teaching and so forth. And at one point, all these people were on a hill and they hadn't eaten in a few days. And Jesus said, I think we need to feed these people. And Jesus feeds 5,000 men with fish and bread on the Jewish side. And he told his disciples, I want you to gather up all the leftovers. And they gathered up all the baskets of leftovers. How many baskets did they collect? Does anyone know? 12. Why 12? Think about that. Jesus, in Mark 5, demoniac. Mark 6, he feeds the 5,000. In Mark 7, toward the end of that, he heads back over to the other side. And in Mark 7 into Mark 8, all of a sudden the people that once told him, please leave, he now comes over to the other side and people are now listening to him. They want to hear what he has to say. He's teaching them. And it says for 3 days, they were listening to him teaching and healing and doing awesome things. And finally, Jesus says, we need to feed these people too. How much bread do you got? 7 loaves. Great. Feed them. Miracle the fish and loaves a second time. Jesus feeds them on the other side. When they're all fed, Jesus tells his disciples, go pick up all the leftovers. And they pick up all the baskets of leftovers. You know how many? Does anyone know? 7. Why 7? Why 7? Who told all the people on the other side about Jesus? Why was there thousands of people willing to listen to Jesus? You know why? Because that dude went to everywhere he could and told as many people as would listen about the great things Jesus has done for him. Jesus took this man's broken, shattered life and totally used it for his glory. And he began telling people about Jesus. And all of a sudden the people are now, they want to meet Jesus themselves. And when he's back across the other side, we now are willing to listen to you. Who told them by the thousands? He did. The power of a testimony. The power of a testimony. Right? Notes this morning. Testimonies are what, people? They are powerful. I love talking all last week in dialogue, as people were talking about Ryan and Stephanie and their testimony last week. Did y'all hear it? You need to go online and listen to it. Amazing. These are two really broken individuals, really messed up people, whose lives have been touched from this Jesus who leaped out the pages of Scripture into their lives and totally changed their lives from the inside out. Testimonies are powerful. This guy's testimony was powerful. And that's why they came. What's Jesus' teaching? Do you want to know the heart of Jesus? On the other side, on the Jewish side, why 12 baskets? 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus is the bread of life to the Jew. Jesus is the Savior of the Jewish people. Take notes this morning. The heart of Jesus is to seek and save the Jewish nation. He's the bread of life to the Jewish nation. You want to meet Jesus? But as Rabbi Feldman says, my Jesus is for you people too. And when I mean you people, I mean anybody in here that's not a Jew. Raise your hand. I'm not a Jew. Anyone here not a Jew? Did you know that Jesus is for you people too? Jesus goes over to our side of the Sea of Galilee. And he feeds us too. Why seven? Because of the seven Gentile nations. It's symbolic of the Jewish nation. Jesus comes to save Jew and Gentile. Abraham was promised that a Messiah would come from his line. And from the Messiah, all the nations of the world would be blessed. Am I right? They sing about Jesus in the book of Revelation. Right now in heaven. And with his blood, he purchased for God people from only the Jewish nation. No. I'm Dutch. Jesus saves the people from Holland. With his blood, he purchased for people from every nation, tribe, and tongue to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God. Jesus is the Savior to the Jew and to the Gentile. That's the heart of Jesus. It's true. Did you know that God's heart is for you? Do you see the heart of Jesus this morning? He comes into our broken worlds. He comes into a land of darkness, a great light will dawn. Why did he come? Because he came for you. He came for me. If you could think of a person that's so messed up, it would be that dude up in the tombs. But you know, in a sense, he's kind of a type of all of us. I don't know if you've heard the rumor or not, but you're pretty messed up. Have you noticed? Your emptiness and loneliness, your own personal shame and guilt. Have you taken a good look at yourself in the mirror? You're a mess. You're broken. Jesus comes to set us free. He comes into the darkness and he brings great light. The heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus. This guy's, do you know that no one's too small or too messed up not to be used by the Lord? Pastor Graham says people can be too big to be used by God because they're too prideful or arrogant. But God can use any person who's small. Last time we were in Israel, we go to this side of the Sea of Galilee. My friend Aaron, he teaches. We teach together on this side. And afterward, I had never heard a song before. Have you heard this song called Reckless Love? Never heard it before. First time I heard it is Aaron was talking about it. He said, the Gentiles truly are, the disciples thought Jesus was reckless in going to the other side. It's dangerous. Probably the demoniac himself. If he could sing, if this demoniac could write a song, I think he'd write a song like what we're about to sing. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. And I want you to, if you want to meet Jesus this morning, listen to the heart of Jesus in this song called Reckless Love. And as we sing this song, if there's ever a lyric in there that says, that applies to me, that one applies to me, that one applies to me, stir it in. The heart of God is for you. That's why he came. Stand with me and let's sing this song. You know this song, don't you? Reckless Love.